Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. You are faithful, Lord. Undeniably faithful. So gracious. So merciful. Always true to your word. And everything that we do and everything that we have comes from you and goes back to you. You alone are worthy. And we love you, and our hearts stand at attention at the mention of your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And right now, in Jesus' name, well, I just declared, hallelujah. Sebre kesinin ingididistesia. Labresha sesinin indidigesta. I just declare right now a change. There are many relationships in this place today that you're struggling. And I declare that through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's word today and the openness of your hearts to repentance, that there is going to be a change. There's going to be a change in the tide of the battle for your life and your family and your children. And we declare victory in every single relationship today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's praise God for it. Hallelujah. 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 All right, you can sit down. You may be seated. I'm going to make you stand up again pretty soon when we read the word, though. But I wanted to start with a joke that's not really a joke. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. We have a gift. We have a gift for all you mothers. It's a handmade gift. They're really special, and they'll be out. You'll be able to pick them up when you leave today. And there's one for all of you, and there's no charge for that, obviously. It's a Mother's Day gift. Last year we had people that were trying to pay for them. It was like, it's Mother's Day. It's a gift. So let me tell you my joke, not joke. Let's do that. So there's a wife and a mom, and she's made plans to make some banana bread because everybody loves it. The kids love it, her husband loves it, and her heart is to make banana bread, special for the family. So she buys a big bunch of bananas, and she hangs it on this little thing, in the kitchen island, the little banana hanger thing some of us have. And seems like every time you guys know, what do you need to let happen before you can make banana bread? It's got to get brown, right? So she's waiting for the bananas to ripen, and it seems like every time one starts to get brown, her husband would eat it. And so she starts to get frustrated, but she doesn't say anything. She's just like, I don't want to make a big thing out of it. So she just says, I'll tell you what, I'll leave that one for him. I'll go buy another bunch, and I'll just let that one brown. So she goes and buys another bunch. Well, every day, every brown one, he comes down and starts eating. And finally, she gets super frustrated with him and says, why do you keep eating all the brown bananas? I'm trying to make banana bread. And he said, oh, thank God, I'm so sick of yucky bananas. I was just trying to make sure you didn't waste the money that you spent on the bananas. I thought you were getting upset. Are you listening? Listen to me now. Fellas, make sure that what you're doing to help is actually helpful. Do you know how you find out? You ask. Ladies, if you want him to be actually helpful, he don't know. Well, he should know. He don't. Ain't never gonna. We're all stupid like that. All of us. Ain't never gonna be able to figure it out. Never, ever, ever. Please take my hand and walk me there. I'm telling you, if you would just get that, 80% of your problems would just go away. Today, we're talking about patience and the power and purpose of words. Are you with me? Come on now. So let's do this. Again, it's an ancient Christian practice, but we want to venerate God's word. Stand up on your feet. Let's read the word together. Let's read it out loud. And then what's our good confession after we read the word? This is the word of the Lord God. Amen. Are you with me? So let's read the word. We're going to start in Ephesians. Read it with me. This is called relationship renovation. This is the second one. By the way, didn't Pastor Lee do a great job last week? He did such a good job. Let's thank God for Pastor Lee. Yeah. Here we go. Read it with me. Therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is the word of the Lord God. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So we agree, that's God's word, right?
Yep.
He says there's a way. Now, first of all, I want to point out, he's writing to them. He says, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. What does that mean? You remember last week I said sometimes when we teach these things, it can come off like, you know, the Christian life is super easy. It's super happy and it's super easy. You're still going to have struggles.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was in jail for what he believed. But from the middle of jail, there's something, let me just tell you this. I want to share this with you. There's something about our brokenness as believers. That when we go through a breaking, when we go through something, when we go through a pressing, it's like a glow stick. There's a breaking on the inside, but out of that breaking comes glory to God.
Amen.
Are you with me? Light. And it changes you, and it illuminates everyone around you. Are you with me? So we're going to have hard things, and one of the hardest things, here's a crazy thing, one of the most important things to every single individual is their relationships. And one of the hardest things to maintain is their relationships. And the reason why is this, right here.
Amen.
Right there.
Hello.
This. Are you with me? And so, I want to tell you, we're gonna pick up where Pastor Lee left off. I want to read you something. I love how Pastor Jacob puts this, so I want to read this to you, okay? Strong relationships are built on love, grow with patience, deepen through forgiveness, and are sustained by humility. And today we're going to, last week we talked, Pastor Lee talked about how strong relationships are built on love and how love without truth becomes error, right? We need God's definition of love. God is love. And if we're going to know true love, we have to have his definition, right? 1 John 4:19. Look at this. We love because he first loved us. He is the barometer. He is the director of how we love. There is a love in the world. There is. But it is not God's love. And it's fickle because you can love pizza the same way you love a person. You can love a game until you don't love it anymore. Then you switch that game for another game because it's all about meeting your need. God's love is me meeting your need because of my care for you. Are you with me? And so strong relationships are built on love. That's what we talked about last week. This week, I want to talk about strong relationships grow. Your relationship grows with patience. Everybody say patience. Say patience, right? So in Ephesians chapter 4, put Ephesians chapter 4 up there with me. And Dustin, I just want to apologize to you on the front end of this. I'm going to be all over the place today, I can tell. So here we go. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord God, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So you see the word worthy there, right? Right? And so in our minds, a lot of times, because we've been exposed to so much legalism, we think that means be perfect, don't sin, don't make any mistakes. He's talking about relationships. Right? We say it all the time here. We follow rules of biblical interpretation here for a reason. You got to read the next verse. Watch this now. Therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Watch this now. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love. Now that word patience in the Greek is the word macrothumia. Macro meaning long. Macro means long. And thumia means it, we get our word thermos from it, or thermal. It means to burn. The word literally means to have a, get ready for it, I'm going to step on your toes a little bit because I stepped on mine. It means to have a long fuse. Literally, it means long fused. It means that you burn long, you have a long fuse. So you don't pop off in traffic. I know. You don't, ask me how I know. On the way to church today, I'm behind somebody. And I'm like, daggum, get out of the word. You go faster when it's slow and then slower when it's fast. You're in my way. You're inconveniencing me. Ugh. That's not long fused. Are you with me? So let me just point out a couple of things. Listen, when you're thinking about being long fused, think about this. There are four things that test our macrothumia. Long suffering. I love the King James and the New King James because they translate it that way. Long suffering is the word. Love suffers long and is patient and kind. Long suffering, it means I got a long fuse with you. I'm not going to blow up and get mad at you over every little thing. Does that make sense? Four things that will test your fuse. Ready? You can ask yourself, do I have macrothumia? Do I have patience? Listen, interruptions, inconveniences, irritations, and inactivity. I've been asking you to do that forever. And you say you're going to do it, but you never do it. It's Mother's Day. I know. I'm talking to some of you out there right now. I've been asking you to do this forever. Are you with me? Or irritation. Why do you always do that? Why do you always do that? Why do you always do that? Are you with me? But now here's the thing. In order for us to develop patience, macrothumia, the number one tool that we can use and that we should use is this right here. And let me explain what I mean. Today I want to talk about the power and the purpose of words. Communication consists of speaking, listening, and understanding. In this message, we're focusing on speaking and how we use our words with one another. Words are an expression of our thoughts and feelings and the intentions of our heart. They are external expressions of an internal reality. So let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Watch this now. What you say, first of all, you know, there's that old adage, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's the biggest bunch of malarkey in the world because each and every one of us have agreements on the inside of us that God has to heal because of something that someone said to us and it stuck. We made an agreement with it and it became a stronghold in our life. And it pops up every time we argue about that one thing. Every time we talk about that one person, every time we do that one outing, it pops up in marriage, it pops up with your kids, it pops up in all your relationships because you believe that thing is true and it pops up and it comes out of you, right? And this is why, because Matthew says, out of the abundance of the heart, that's the one I want. See it there? A tree is identified by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it didn't say whatever's in your heart comes out. That's not what that says. It says what's in abundance in your heart spills out of this. You want to know how I know when I've been watching too much TV? Because I'll start saying things I ought not be saying. Why? Well, because I've been feeding my flesh for so long that my flesh gets strong, right? Whatever you feed grows. And your heart is good. But if you've given your heart over to your flesh, your heart isn't strong enough to keep that word from coming out of your mouth because you've been feeding your flesh on whatever it is you're watching. All right? That's not legalism. That's just the way the world works. They say it in computer programming all the time. Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put in there, that's what's going to come out. And if you're filling your heart with the Word of God and Christian music or just whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any knowledge, do these things. It doesn't necessarily even have to be Christian. All truth is God's truth, but if you're filling your heart with truth, the truth is going to come out of your mouth. And if you're filling your heart with garbage, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? Garbage. Now, these were rule followers. They followed all the rules, and he said, you're dead inside. So keeping the rules isn't what he's talking about. There's something on the inside that comes out of you. So, and you're getting ahead of yourself, Will. Dadgummit, how do I do this? So, nope, I'm going the wrong way. I'm doing this wrong. So, you teach the God side first, then you teach the man side. It makes the man side a whole lot easier. So let's talk about God for a second. So God has given you, we're talking about the power of words. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So starting with God. When God creates, so what makes us like God? We're in the image of God. Our words are powerful because, first of all, we can't have this conversation with other beings. There are other animals in the world, correct? Can any of them communicate through language? Zero of them. None. They make noises. They can communicate, but they don't understand language. They can mimic words, but they are of a lower order. We are created in the image of God in the sense that we have creative power. And the one thing that separates us from all of the rest of the animal kingdom is our understanding of language. Logos. Are you with me? And so God put inside of us this creative ability because we're made in his image, but we are finite and he is infinite. So if we look at how God does things, it'll help us to see how his image in me works, right? So God wanted to create. So what did God do? He spoke. So let's stop and talk about the Trinity for a minute. It's really not that hard. You just have to think about it. Think about this for a second. God, the Father, is the essence of all existence. Yahweh, Jehovah, the word literally means I am that I am. I can't not exist. I can't not be. I am the self-existent one. I am existence. He is essence. Everything comes from him, is upheld by him, and goes back to him. It's all him, right? In one very real sense, you belong to him. He upholds all things by the, yes, Lord, by the word of his power, the Bible says. He upholds also when the Father expresses himself, he's so perfect that what comes from him is also absolutely perfect and absolutely personal, and that is the living word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. So he expresses the word logos. And it contains his essential character. All that he is in his word. But then along with that word, there's something else. That's the objective revelation. So objective revelation of what's going on the inside of God. His mind, his thoughts, his creativity expressed through his word, and the power of who he is present in his word. But along with that word, there's something else, God the Holy Spirit. And that is the ability for you to understand who God is. And let me prove it in an Old Testament way. Ready? The Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and then the word of the Lord came to me saying. Are you with me? So there's essence, objective revelation, subjective revelation. So in the context of what we're talking about today, your words, the power of your words come from who you are. Your authority. The purpose of your words is to be understood, right? The Holy Spirit and Jesus are co-equal with the Father, right? A lot of people throw the Holy Spirit out like he's just an influence or whatever. He's a person just like Jesus is a person. What that means for you, I'm using the Trinity to teach this, but what it means to you, it doesn't just matter what you say or what you meant by what you say. It also is of equal importance that they understand what you said, so that there's communication. And you can see it all just by looking at the Trinity. Are you with me? So you teach the God side first and then the man side. So what are we talking about here? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? So all of our creativity and the things that we want out of life, It comes out of inner realities. So just like God, before the foundation of the world, knew you, had a plan and a purpose for your life, and had a plan for creation, and then spoke that into existence, did you know the same thing we do every single day? And it all starts with this right here, right? All you mamas in here never would have become a mother if that dude didn't use this to get close to you. It all started with words. You sure are pretty. Are you with me? It all started with this right here. Everything that you are and everything that you know or will ever be came from something you learned, and it came through words. Are you with me? And so Pastor Jacob used the illustration I thought was really good, but I'm going to use another one that he gave me because I think it's even better. If you want to make a cake, right? You take an internal reality, a desire that you have, and an internal idea and reality. There wasn't always cake. There wasn't cake in the garden. Man made cake. Well, how did we do it? Well, we thought, well, if I take that and I mix it with that, and I put a little bit of that in there, and I know how that works, and I'm navigating. God has given us authority over our life. Choose you this day. Life and death, blessing or cursing, right? Choose life that you may live. You have a choice, free will. God gave you authority in your life. And the only reason the fall ever happened was because God gave us authority. And if you think that you wouldn't have fallen like Adam did, you do it every single day. Anytime you choose what I want, what I think, what I feel, over and against what God's word you know says, and you think you know better than his word how to navigate this existence that he created, that's really what pride is. That's not, oh, look at me. I know better than God, and I know that it's going to, this won't hurt me. And God's going, that's going to hurt. Nah, it's pretty. It's red. And it's pretty, and I can touch it. Don't touch it. It's going to burn you. But it's pretty, and it's red, and I don't, ow! Why does this hurt? Why is life so hard? Because you're not listening to his word. See it? It's all intertwined. But now we, as little people in the image of God, we don't understand that when I'm looking at a relationship, okay? So, my house recently had to be renovated. And we had to take some things out. And we had to put some other things in. And there was a vision on the inside of the person doing it of how it should happen, but none of it could happen without words. And I'm telling you right now today, I don't care how long you've been stuck in the nag retreat syndrome. I don't care how long. Do I need to explain that? Let me explain it then. Okay, so she wants to feel closer to you because she feels that there's distance. So she reaches out to you. And because you feel like you cannot satisfy her, or that she won't be satisfied, you retreat, which scares her, so she pursues you even harder. And then you retreat even harder. And both of you, because you didn't talk about the bananas, you're caught in a cycle. I got you, didn't I? I walked you right into it. Ask me how I know. Because I'm married to a really smart lady. That's how I know. Are you with me? And the Holy Spirit's really good to me. It's a syndrome that we fall into, and she's got an agreement on the inside of her, and he's got an agreement on the inside of him, and it's based on nonsense. It's not true, but because they both believe it and they have agreements, they fall into these cycles in marriage of nag retreat, nag retreat, nag retreat, because nobody's talking about the bananas. And when we're talking about patience today, we have to understand the power of our words. The power of your words can renovate your relationship. You can get a vision for what you want it to look like. And if you want your relationship to look different than it does today, you got to start right here. Are you with me? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. They that love what? What's the subject of that? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit of it. It's the tongue. Right? There are people that love behind people's backs, sow in discord. The Bible talks about it, right? There are also people that love to encourage, love to strengthen, love to say nice things. And it reminds me, Brother Hagin used to tell this story of this lady. She wouldn't say anything bad about anybody. And finally, he said, "What do you think about the devil?" And she said, "He's persistent." Are you with me? And so whatever you love, you get to decide the fruit, right? You get to decide the fruit. Look at the message. Proverbs 18, 21 in the message. Look at this. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. You want your relationship to be different, ladies? Start thinking about this first. Fellas, this. You can't have the assumption he should know me by now. Where is that in the Bible? That's your opinion. That's what Cosmo said. Some single lady that ain't never been married at Cosmo wrote that. And we're taking that as gospel and relation. We ought not take advice about relationships from the world. They can't do it right, never have been able to do it right. It's God that created our capacity for relationship. We take it from him. Well, you know what that means? If you want something, tell him what you want. Tell him exactly what you want him to do and how you want him to do it. Fellas, just because she's communicating with you doesn't mean she's bossing you around. Get over yourself and do what she's asking you to do and watch and see if the things that you don't like start to change. And if you don't know, ask. And another thing too, fellas, that I will, thank you, Lord. Ask, don't announce. One of the things that I've learned, this is free. I'm just throwing this in for free. Ask, don't announce. Right? Yeah, I'm the head of the household. That's true. Let's talk about you being head of the household for a second. Remember, I said the power of your words comes from authority. The higher your authority. So if you're the head of the household, your words should be the kindest. Ask me how I know. I am terrible at that. But if you're the head of the household, is it okay for me to tell the truth? Yeah. I'm terrible at this. This is how I know. I struggle with it all the time, but it's true. When I control not just what I say, but the way that I say it, my life changes. You're the head of the house, but she is the hearth. She takes what you give to her and she multiplies it and gives it back to you. That's what makes her a mother. Woman takes what you sow and multiplies it back to you, even more beautiful. But garbage in, garbage out. So if you're sowing garbage, guess what you're going to get back? Garbage. And then you're complaining. We complain, right? I'm sorry. Lord, help me. Am I doing okay? Come on now. I'm trying to help somebody today. I'm telling you, what you say matters and how you say it matters. And one little caveat with us, you know, head of the households. I'm the man. Ask, don't announce. Is she supposed to respect me like she respects Jesus? Yeah, and Jesus goes up to the door and he knocks. Oh, I gotcha, didn't I? Gotcha, didn't I? He owns the building. he still knocks. Because it's built on love, and love doesn't force. Love gives a choice. And we grow through patience. See where I'm going? I'm tying it in a nice little knot for you. Right? We grow through patience. So relationship renovation, if you don't like where you're at in a certain area, using that as an illustration, if you don't like where you're at in a certain area of your marriage or of your relationship with your daughter or your son or your relationship with your boss, it doesn't matter. Any relationship, if you need renovation, you start with this right here. What am I saying? How am I saying it? And the second part of that, remember Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is just as important. The power of words is settled. I've shown it to you. But the purpose of words, the purpose is for you to be understood. The purpose is communication and understanding. Amen? Amen. So think about this. If I was to write something in Russian on the screen, would it mean anything to any of you? Would you understand it at all? There are words there. I could even speak it in Russian. But if you didn't understand Russian, there's plenty of power in those words. But I don't understand it, so does it do you any well? Yes, Lord, I will. Thank you. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, in the parable of the sower, in the very first thing that it says the word was sown, and immediately the enemy came and stole the word from their hearts because they did not understand it. That's not my idea. God's telling you how words work. Because he created language, and he created us in his image with creative capacity, and we get to choose how we use our words in order to navigate our relationships. And I remember, it's the craziest thing. I sat down with a friend not long ago, and I said something, me and Melissa, we were talking, and I said, yeah, I think we agree about like 90% of everything. Me and Melissa are in agreement about like 90% of stuff. It's really just the only other 10%. And Melissa was like, that's not true. And I was like, what? And she was like, nah, it's more like 70-30. And I was like, that's a big gap. We disagree about like 20% more stuff than I, which is why I say, ask, don't announce. Going back to the bananas, she's not trying to cause trouble. Her heart is for you. He's not trying to cause trouble, Mama. His heart is for you. But because there's none of this going on, or if it is going on, it's knives out. I'm going to quote the word to you to show you that I'm right is not bringing somebody up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's an argument. And you're using the Bible to do it. Don't do that. You can do the same thing by asking, will you help me to think through what this means? Because I think this applies to us. Hey, come look at this. What do you think this means? I think this applies to this situation. Are you with me? Ask me how I know. I'm learning. I've been married for over 20 years. I'm still learning this stuff because I'm hard-headed and I think I know everything. Anybody else? I'm hard-headed. I think I know everything. We all do. Because we're men. Are you with me? There's the guy. This is a funny joke. It's a worldly thing, but it's still kind of true. There's the man in charge. There's usually the man in charge and then the woman that actually knows everything that's going on. Are you with me? And that's true for my life. What are we doing tonight? Raise your hand if you've asked that question in the last week. What's going on tonight? Who knew? She knew. You didn't know. Are you with me? And all I'm saying is this, guys, have a long fuse. Have a long fuse. Use your words well, because the way that we speak to one another and the way that we communicate with one another matters. And you have to communicate not in order to make your point. You have to communicate in order to be understood. Are you with me? The purpose of your communication, listen to me, fellas. Ladies, plug your ears. Listen to me, fellas. The purpose of your communication is not for you to get your way or prove that you are right. The purpose of your communication is for her to understand what's going on the inside of you. Now, if what's coming out of you is mean and vicious and vile, that's an issue between you and Jesus that needs to get sorted out. Because if you don't sort that out, that's garbage in, garbage. That's what you're going to get back. She's going to take what you sow and she's going to multiply it. And she's going to give it back to you. And it's going to be bigger than what you gave her. You sow a seed in the ground, a tree sprouts, it has fruit. The fruit has lots of seeds in it from one seed. You put a seed in a woman, she gives you back a baby. That baby has lots of eggs or seeds in it. Right? This is a physical representation of your spiritual relationship with your spouse, of your spiritual relationship with your kids. Whatever you sow, that's why the Bible says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition. Admonition is correction, but there's a proper way to correct. Right? There's a proper way to correct your husband. There's a proper way to correct your wife. And it needs to be with that patience. Having that long fuse, not trying to push yourself, push your way, prove you're right, but trying to make sure that she understands. Are you with me? The banana bread would have never happened if they hadn't talked. Right? And we all love banana bread. Amen? And I want my relationship to be like banana bread. Warm and good and a little nutty. Just a little nutty. You've met my wife, you know. Just a little nutty. You can throw some nuts in there. So my challenge for you today, in closing, I want to ask you today. And I want you to know this too, that I didn't really necessarily follow right along with the notes because the Holy Spirit is directing me for who's in the room and what's going on in the room. So it's close, but I've got a feeling that many of you, I put some handles on some truth that if you'll listen, if we will take a point of contact, if we'll take a point of contact, if we'll repent, and I keep hearing this over and over in the song that we were singing about repentance and the fire starting. And God's been saying this to us forever on this campus, just by words of prophecy, but in our community, revival starts with repentance. In our church, revival starts with repentance. In our relationships, revival starts with repentance. And here's the great thing and the most powerful thing. Let me put some handles on it as I close today, and then I'm going to give you a call. You're here and you say, you're right, I do need to do that. You're right, that's what I need to do. I need to watch my words better. I need to do that, but I don't know how to do that. See, we're really good in church about telling you what you should do, but then not putting handles on the truth so that you know how to do what you should do. And I'm going to take just a moment and tell you how you do that. Remember how we said the fiber of existence is held together by God's word. And you remember the power of your words is based on your authority. But the power of his words is based on his authority, and there's no greater authority. So if God says it and you believe it and you repeat it, his word comes to pass. Because we are finite, but he is infinite. His word stands when everything else falls to the ground. Right? And there's this idea, there has been this idea in church where, you know, whatever you say, it's going to happen. Jesus said, no, you'll be judged for every idle word you say. There are idle words that you say. Idle, if your car is idling, it's not going anywhere. It's not doing anything. It's there, but it's not doing anything. It doesn't function. Does that make sense? But when you align your words and you submit to His authority, that's why the Bible says, yes, Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus. I just heard the Holy Spirit say this. Didn't I say in my word, submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee? Your authority only goes as high as who you're submitted to. Are you with me? And there are some times that you're going to be in situations where you just don't know what to say. You just don't know. And that's why tongues is there. Because you don't know what to say, what you should say. And the Bible says he takes hold together with you against your inability to produce results. That's what that word infirmity means. It literally means in the Greek, an inability to produce results. But whether you understand what's being said or sometimes it goes beyond what you can ask or what you can think, when you align yourself with God's word, what does the Bible say? He prays, he helps you to pray according to the will of God, the perfect will of God. Right? I'm not telling you if you get in an argument to go shout it in tongues at your husband or your wife. I'm telling you when you don't know what to say, take a moment, pray in the Spirit, and with your mind, the mind of Christ, be listening to the Holy Spirit to give you the words that you should say or the way that you should approach what you're doing and see if he doesn't turn the apple cart over in your life. I'm telling you, I believe that word of prophecy, that the tides of the warfare against our family and against our children is going to begin to change because love never fails. Are you with me? And so align your words with the word of God, right? You don't like the way your husband's leading? Start telling him. Start speaking the word over him. When he's not there and to his face, right to his face, you're a man of God. I love the man of God you're becoming. I love your heart about that. Pick the one thing, use the word of God and start to strengthen, and whatever you feed grows. If you start feeding his insecurity, guess what's going to happen? It ain't going to get better. Guys, if you start feeding her insecurity, guess what's going to grow? Are you with me? Tell her she's beautiful, not just on date night or because you're trying to get a favor from her. Tell her she's beautiful just because she is. Send her texts, send her flowers, shepherd her heart, and watch and see if she doesn't give it back to you in spades. In spades. You can do this with your kids. You've got an estranged child, start speaking the word over them. You're gifted, you're favored by God, man, you're blessed. God loves you. Are you with me? You don't lie, but you speak the word over them. You know, the eyes of your understanding are open. God talks to you. I know you hear from God. I know he's gonna lead you. And you're prophesying into their life and into their heart. I can tell you this. The worst regret that you're ever gonna have in your whole life is gonna be the things that you said and the things that you didn't say. And that's the God's honest truth. We have an opportunity every moment of every day in every relationship to prophesy our future. Speak life. Speak peace. Align your words with God's word. And make sure that you speak in a way that can be understood. Make sure that your communication is not just about facts, but it's about relationship. Jesus did. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Make sure life comes out of your mouth and you can renovate your relationships. You can literally tear things out that don't belong there, maybe even things you put there, and put the things in that you want and change the atmosphere of your relationship, of your home, of your job, of your work, of your family, of your future. Amen? So every head bowed and every eye closed. I was speaking.